This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of, and we dream such frightening things. Sci-fi and Scream, Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid, on Joy 94.9.
And welcome to Sci-fi and Scream. In fact, this is Sci-fi and Scream, episode number 80, and that was Karen Hay. And for all of those Kiwis out there who know who Karen Hay was, well, she was a legend in her own right, but also for most New Zealanders, I think, with radio pitches. And she was talking about something that happened back in 1983, I guess. Some bands that probably none of us can recall. Now, I just want to say thanks to White Noise for their great show, Keza and TJ. Thanks, guys. And tonight, we're going to look back on Sci-Fi and Scream, the good as gold fictional projects from Aotearoa, programs and TV series that came out of the land of the long white cloud. There's so much creativity in sci-fi and fantasy from Kiwiland that we are actually saying, is there something in the water? Perhaps there is. So welcome, or haere mai, to my two special guests here tonight. Leo from Sound Museum, welcome.
Thanks, Sonia. How are you going?
Sounds like university challenge, doesn't it? And of course, Byron is here as well. Welcome, Byron.
Thanks for having me, Sonia.
So we're going to be hopefully dissecting what it is that makes Kiwi culture from television, especially, and particularly looking at kid adult and young TV sci-fi fiction and the influences and where it's all led to, because I will also be playing an interview I had with one of the creators of the sensational new series that is Across the Ditch, showing Across the Ditch is actually being made into its second series, second season, I should say, and that is the Almighty Johnson's writer and creator, or co-creator, James Griffin. Of course, James Griffin might be known to some people as being the man behind, one of the creators behind, the ingenious Outrageous Fortune, which finished last year, which was very sad, and I see Leo looking a bit disappointed.
I love that show. It was just iconic Kiwi, and being from West Auckland, it was just...
home away from home.
It was. It was just incredible. I miss it greatly.
Now, in the medley, I should mention, we had Anna Paquin's 1993 Academy Award acceptance speech, which was just cute as. She was 11 at the time, or 11 going on 12. And of course, Anna Paquin is now Mrs. Anna Paquin Moyer, married to Stephen Moyer, her co-vampire, although she's not a vampire, from the awesome True Blood television series on HBO in the US. She is, of course, Sookie Stackhouse. And she's a Kiwi. Yes, she's not a Canadian. Her mum is, but she isn't actually a Kiwi. And she was the youngest person to win an Oscar to date, as far as I'm aware. And we also had a bit of Rachel Hunter in there. It won't happen overnight, but it will happen. So I thought I'd throw that in. Byron's looking a bit...
Yes, it's quintessential. It has to be in there.
It had to be there.
And she drew ads.
I know.
Annie Crummer.
That's right, she did that.
It was Annie Crummer, yeah.
Oh, not your favourite Tina Cross. There's a bit of a debate going on here, but we'll get down to that maybe in another episode, perhaps. Just want to say that it is great to have a couple of Kiwi blokes, although Byron looks a bit uneasy in his chair there.
I'm fine. I'm a ringing.
Okay.
Honorary Kiwi, people call me.
Now, where do you hail from? I mean, obviously came from Australia originally, but...
I've lived in Napier, Whangarei and Auckland.
And the favourite one of the three?
Would have to be Napier.
If you had to choose. Yeah, really? Why?
I would love... my retirement plan is definitely a double-storey villa on Marine Parade overlooking the ocean.
Or the keg throwing on New Year's Eve.
Yes, that too.
Which they do in Marine Parade. And yourself, Leo?
Auckland. West Auckland.
Yes. Ooh, Outrageous
Henderson.
Fortune. Yes.
So, yeah, been in Melbourne for 11 years, mm-hmm. So, but go back about 3-4 times a year.
And do you always like to go back to the West when you go back?
My parents still live there, so cool. When they go back, it's just like going back in time. Going back in time.
It's like the 1990s all over.
Really bizarre. Like, you go back and everything's changed, of course, but yes. it's
good
to go back. It's the nostalgia. I love sort of going my old... hangouts and stuff. It's cute.
And where do you hang out? Do you like go to the beaches, the wonderful West Auckland beaches, or
no? Because I never have a car, so I'm always like to the mall or to the park or something.
Very outrageous.
But Ponsonby, go into the city. Ponsonby
Fish and Chip Shop.
Yeah,
awesome
coffee there.
Sea Dogs.
I love Points to Be Wide.
It is brilliant. And of course, lots of festivals coming up earlier next year. Actually, I think we've missed Pacifica and there's so many now.
Mm. Well, there's the next month, November, there's the Grey Lynn Festival.
That's
always a good one.
We used to call it Galen.
Yes, same.
Of course.
We're talking a festival. It's not really a festival, but my girlfriend took me to in Newmarket, behind Newmarket, there's this French, like a French gala day every Sunday, like a sort of a market. French market with like French produce.
Do you have to pay in francs or euros?
No, but it's all French food.
Cool.
And it's fresh food, made food, raw food, and the cakes and the savouries are just to die for. Like, beautiful stuff.
The bakeries are so good in Auckland. Did you ever go to the Westland little shopping area and there was Mamata Bakery? Get yourself a bagel there.
No, I'll have to check that one out next
time.
Bagels
are really big in New Zealand, aren't they?
They are.
Yes.
And
bagels
they're huge.
Are huge.
Like, they're physically big, like the coffee. Mm. The coffee's like a small spoon.
The latte and the bowl
latte.
Kiwi Anna is alive and well here.
We're getting a bit excited. We will be back shortly, and I'm going to play that James Griffin interview in just a moment. You're listening to Sonia, Byron, and Leo. I got the names right. Here on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi there. This is Anna Silk, and I play Bo on Lost Girl. And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Dilip Brown, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Get it.
Hey, so welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream, and tonight's show is a special one. We're going to be journeying back in time and looking at just what it is that those bloody Kiwis are up to and how come they make some of the best fantasy genre, particularly for younger people. In the past, from the 1980s, but even more recently, are the almighty Johnsons. Now, I have on the line for the show tonight, James Griffin's calling from Auckland. Well, I'm calling him, actually. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream, James.
Hi, great. Lovely to be here.
Yeah, it's good of you to talk to us. I hope I'm not dragging you away from the Rugby World Cup as well, or is that not
your thing? No. There's on the day that you're calling, it's fine. We're relatively free of games.
It's a rugby-free day.
A few hours yet, so all quiet in the streets.
All right. Now, on Sci-Fi and Scream, of course, we're the only, that I know of, LGBTIQ radio show that does genre, and pretty much everything else we can, fantasy, sci-fi, and horror.
How many more niches can you find?
As many as I can squeeze in to a one-hour show.
Yeah.
Been going for almost 2 years now. It is amazing what does pop up, and it is exciting to know that there is a show like The Almighty Johnsons that exists out there. You're one of the co-creators, is that right?
Yes, myself and my kind of partner in crime, Rachel Lang, came up with the idea a few years ago, and so we're just at the moment just about to start shooting the second series. The day after tomorrow, which of course will be in the past by the time you air this.
Yes.
We're getting the cast together for the first time to have our first table read of the first four episodes. So,
good.
Yeah, and we start shooting on October the 9th, I think.
Okay.
9th or 10th. Yeah.
Wow, that is soon. And it's 13 episodes it's been approved to do for this season.
We've gone out to 13. I think 10 felt like not quite long enough last time, so we've managed to mug New Zealand On Air for a bit more money to stretch it out to 13 this time around, which is a much nicer number to be working with.
Well, for those over the side of the ditch who don't know what The Almighty Johnsons is all about, how would you describe it? Just briefly.
Okay, thumbnail. It's about a family of, there are four brothers and their grandfather who live in Auckland, and they are the living incarnations of Norse gods. They're basic Kiwi blokes who grew up in a part of New Zealand called down in Central Hawke's Bay, but that's actually where all the Norse gods ended up after the belief in them started to wane, they decided to walk the earth and they descended from Asgard.
Oh.
And then they realised that was a dumb move. As Christianity rose, people tended to run around chasing them and hitting them with sticks and burning down their huts. So they decided to run away and hide, and they boarded a ship called the thing, which is true, and disguised amongst a bunch of Norwegian immigrants, they shifted out to New Zealand. and settle here and have been living amongst us ever since, incarnating themselves over and over again.
I mean, I'm from Hawke's Bay originally, and just from the Maori legends of the Tūhoe, are you relating that to the red-headed people that were supposed to have lived in the hills?
No, we haven't quite gotten Maori legends yet. We might get there one day, but, you know, that's an interesting concept, the Tūhoe thing.
Red hair and blue eyes, apparently. The aliens,
We've got our own Area 51 just outside Hastings. Many years ago, Rachel and I were asked by TV3 over here to come up with a series with strong male leads, and we were sitting around talking about it and decided that a superhero in New Zealand would really suck you're not that special. What makes you so special, mate? And then we kind of latched that idea onto my family's upbringing in Central Hawke's Bay, and we kind of melded the two together to come up with the Johnsons.
Well, whereabouts in Hawke's Bay are you from?
My mother and her family had a farm in Dannevirke.
Norswear.
Johnsons literally came from, probably from my grandfather's farm, because their name was Janssen, Johnson, there you go.
It's that Norwegian connection with the socks, the Norsewear socks?
Well, they're actually Swedish, but there were Norwegians and Swedes settled in Dannevirke and Norsewood, surprisingly.
We used to get cheese from there, I think it was cheese. Anyway, I'm going off tangent, I think.
Cool place. Norsewood through it, it's got a big longboat there.
That's right. Wow, that's going back. Now, the great news is, you've got the second season. How different is that going to be from the first?
The thing about first seasons is that the whole idea of doing a first season is so that you can do a second season and learn what you did well in the first season and do that again and learn what you did badly and try and avoid that. That's pretty much what we're trying to do, is to build on the good and leave behind the slightly dodgy.
Now, the problem here is, I think I said off air before, was in Australia, that they don't seem to recognize, I guess, the genius of that kind of idea. And like Outrageous Fortune, it might sink a little bit as far as getting played on the commercial stations. And I think people are going outside of that a lot more for a lot of television now. So it's a bit sad that they're not picking it up.
Screens on TV3 over in New Zealand. One of the great things about working for TV3 is that talking to Kelly Martin, who's the head of programming before we were doing this, she goes, I don't want a cop show. I don't want a lawyer show. I don't want a procedural show, because I can get those. I can buy those. I've got those coming out. Give me something that I haven't seen before. Of course, when they say that, you know they want it to be kind of different, but safely different. And a lot of my Australian writer partners are just dead jealous of that kind of network attitude. You know, give us what we haven't seen before. Gives you a life.
Risk-taking, and I think it's always shown in Kiwi television, just looking at New Zealand on Screen, which is online. It's just amazing when you start trolling through the past. You go, God, there's some good stuff, and it's still that
you
level.
Go back through. I mean, you're talking about the kids that we used to make, which was a huge influence on the Johnsons. You know, we used to make sci-fi for kids. Why can't we make it for adults? For a long time, there was no, you can't do it. We just went, why not? We used to watch it when we were growing up.
Children of the Dog Star. I believe it was only 6 episodes. Children of the Dog Star. It always felt like it went on and on. Maybe they just repeated them.
Yeah, all those ones were kind of short. I worked on The Boy from Andromeda, a couple of others, Night of the Red Hunter. But these little series that were great, and they had high production values, and they rocked along, and we used to love them. We used to make heaps of them. Now we don't anymore.
But as you moved on to the adult area, now one television series that you were involved with was Matuku. It's described as a supernatural Māori drama. Wow, I mean, taking a risk again, I think.
Matuku was interesting. I was the wise old Pākehā kaumātua dealing with a lot of Māori writers, which was really good for me, actually, because it's a whole different kind of style of storytelling, Māori. And, I mean, that was great for me. I really enjoyed it. And, so I just worked on the first 6 episodes just to help them get kicked off, and then they ran on for it. I think they made like 18 of them or something.
And all power to them for doing that, and you've been involved as well. A question is the Almighty Johnsons going to be transplanted to the US? Will they make a version? Do you see anything?
I don't know. I know there are I know there are companies, because, I mean, they made out, they did a version of Outrageous that wasn't entirely that successful. But as things are becoming much more global, they're always looking. And if something worked in another market, they've generally got their eyes on it going, all right, can we find a way of making it work here? But, you know, I think inevitably it will join a queue of many other shows that might possibly be made in the United States and carries with it good and bad. So, you know, it's an honour to be kind of chosen. On the other hand, it's kind of a bit scary because the psyches are very different.
Now, you do have a bisexual character that's in The Almighty Johnsons, and for some of our listeners,
many of them are actually quite fluid when it comes to it, I think you discover.
And I think that's the beauty of it too, when you're looking at, they are pagans, obviously, by origin. And I think that's the whole thing too, you know, not being the same as most Christian sort of ideas of what is supernatural. And it's Michelle, is that right? The character's Michelle, and it's also played by Michelle Langston.
Schürfen, the one that the goddess that no one can ever say her name, who is a goddess associated with hooking up people, basically. He's not fussy about small things like gender or orientation or anything like that.
No, that's
hooking people up is what she does.
It's been great chatting to you. I just want to ask you before I let you go, what do you think it is that drives Kiwi writers in television to, you know, take these sort of risks, make these fantasies into good TV?
I guess because we're given the opportunity. I mean, if someone offers you that chance not to just work on soap or any kind of anything simple like that, you're going to run with it. And so you give us an inch, we'll take a mile, absolutely. And then even more foolishly, if they want to fund us to make it, then we'll go there as well. Yeah. It's fun. I mean, it should be fun.
All right, and any future plans? Do you think it's going to run for as long as Outrageous Fortune?
One series at a time. We'll get through the second series and hopefully people won't have turned on us going, oh my God, what were we thinking, and come running after us and trying to hit us with a stick.
Look, I'm sure that won't happen. I'm interested to find out if there's a conspiracy theory with the Tuhoi.
That's
season four.
A good one. I quite like that one. And what you guys should look out for in series two is the notion that gender need not be fixed within the world of the gods.
Ah, good. Well, look at Zeus. As far as Greek gods go, he was a pretty interesting chap. Okay, look, James, it's been great tonight, on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
As
an ex-Kiwi, but it's inspiring to have stuff it's not just about Xena, Warrior Princess, or The Hobbit. You know, it's a little bit different. TV screen.
Choice.
Hi,
this is James Griffin from the Kiwi show The Almighty Johnson. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.2?
Nine.
94.9.
Have another crack at it.
I'll just write down that number. All right. I'm a bit numerically challenged.
Okay.
Story 94.9.
That's
okay.
It.
Right. Okay. Hi, I'm James Griffin from that Kiwi show, The Almighty Johnsons. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9.
Terrific. Great. Hey, thanks for that.
I'm Lucky McKee, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
A moment or two more, and you will be the first live Earth people ever to enter a celestial ship.
Hi, Pollyanna McIntosh. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
So, back home?
I'm sorry, where's home? Australia, right?
What do you mean by that, mate? Zoe's from New Zealand, and you never, I repeat, never call a Kiwi an Aussie.
That is, unless you want your ass kicked.
I'm so sorry. I really am. Oh, that's okay. We're just taking the piss out of you, mate.
Welcome back to Sci-Fi and Squeam, and that was Zoe, the amazing Zoe. I've forgotten her last name, but she was a stunt woman in many Xena episodes, and that was from Death Proof, where, yes, she takes the piss out of poor Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who's a cheerleader who has no idea what the difference between an Aussie and a Kiwi is. And before that, I played Poye from the Patea Māori Club, a classic, a definite classic. We love it, we love it. 1984. Goodness, that's going back.
It sure is.
So welcome back to the show. In case you're just tuning in, this is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9, and we're doing Kiwi children's sci-fi and fantasy, but we also are looking at why it is that it sort of has developed more into adult specimens or adult projects which have turned into series like Mataku, of course, that came out 2002 to 2005. And as I spoke to James Griffin earlier, he's also the writer for Outrageous Fortune, which doesn't have any sort of supernatural elements in it. So they now have developed a new series called The Almighty Johnsons, about Norse gods who just happen to incarnate into some guys who live in West Auckland. And Leo's from West Auckland.
I am.
He's also from Sound Museum, which is on Wednesday.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We're having time slots from 9 until 11 tomorrow.
Ooh. Mm. Are you excited about the new time?
We are, actually. An hour earlier. It's great.
And what does Sound Museum mean? What
we take the listener inside the music industry. So if you're wanting to know what the new music is, what's on the charts, what's coming out, who's touring,
what's going off.
Yeah, this is our show. It's Joy's only music show for new releases and music
charts
industry.
And music industry news.
Music news, what's happening, X Factor. 2 hour show, and it's so busy. It's a hectic
You're
show.
You're a very, very busy man, of course. And Byron is here, our honorary Kiwi. Now he's a news broadcaster. Is that how you would describe yourself?
I do the news every Monday drive and every second Saturday afternoon. I come in and compile a news bulletin to deliver to our listeners.
You don't make it up. It's real news.
It's real news. It's real news.
Cool. Excellent. So we were thinking about Under the Mountain. Now, Under the Mountain was an eight-part TV series, mini-series, I used to call them back then, based on the novel by the incredible writer Maurice G, the Kiwi writer. It was produced by TVNZ and was first transmitted, that's a very good word, transmitted in 1981. So we're going to talk about that shortly because one of my guests here, the wonderful Leo from Sound Music, here on Joy 94.9, has a secret about Under the Mountain.
I do.
Tell us about this thing that happened to you.
When I was a kid, back in the day, my dad used to work for Television New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he was head of transport. So he would organise transport for news crews and location crews, etc. So he was a pretty busy
guy. Was he a stunt driver as well? Or
no,
just
organising like the crews and drivers and vehicles and stuff. During the 80s, he was involved with a lot of, I guess, TV shows. And I remember him bringing back some photos from a set of Under the Mountain when they were filming it. And when it came on TV, I remember vividly watching it and just thinking, this is really cool and exciting. Because back then,
it was scary too.
It was scary. Mm. To top it all off, in the TV show, there was the baddies used to drive this old black, what's that car called?
Hearse?
I think so.
Yes.
A hearse car, and it was black, and it was scary. Like the music and seeing that car, I thought, oh my God, what's going to happen? Near us was a park, like a caravan park. This old couple would have been in their 70s, so really old, and they used to drive a black, exact same car as in Under the Mountain. And every time I used to go to the park, I used to see them like driving in through the park or out on the street and stuff. And when I see that car, I used to just freeze and hide behind a tree or something because I was petrified of this damn car. It wasn't obviously from the TV show, but seeing that car and seeing it sort of like chug down the road, I was like, oh my God, it's coming to get me.
It's coming, yeah.
So that was really scary. And
Was it filmed around Henderson area?
No, the actual show was filmed near the volcanoes, obviously near Wandjee Hill and Mount Eden and stuff.
Yeah.
But the show was amazing, and it only aired, I think, once on TV and was never to be like screened again.
It felt like a lot more than 80 episodes. I mean, another
it
TV
did.
Series we'll talk about later is Children of the Dog Star, and just briefly, that was only 6 episodes, but it's just amazing how the impact and the influence they have, because they're a mini-series in their own right and long movies in their own right. And I think Under the Mountain, of course, is based well, pretty much around mountains, volcanic mountains. And I believe Auckland's made up of 28 dormant volcanoes.
Yeah, heaps.
A lot. Heaps. And so there's that cultural kind of aspect, I guess, that maybe Australians don't understand. New Zealand, of course, is also known as the Shaky Isles, and really the only other nation that has our sort of similar climate and geographical and geological activity is Japan. And we all know the terrifying reality of what can happen when you live right on a fault line like Aotearoa is. And it comes through a lot in the fiction. So Under the Mountain was like scary because under the volcano there is something lurking there. There's something alive in this dormant area. So.
And the most amazing thing is with Under the Mountain, it screened like in 1981.
Yeah.
And I know friends, even a few years ago, were saying, oh, I remember that show Under the Mountain. It was fantastic. And people remember it so fondly. Recently, it got released on DVD for the first time.
I know.
Years later. That was only out.
That's 30 years.
In the last couple of years, it was on DVD. And before that, it was just like, no, it was never, there's a few things on YouTube, but nothing really major.
But nothing really, it's sort of a sleeper, a bit like the volcanoes, dormant and sleeping.
And it sold really well for TVNZ as well, that DVD, because people love the show. And the film came out in 2000.
I wasn't pleased with the film version.
The film was dreadful.
Sam Neill, it didn't do it for me. Yeah. The red-headed actors were lovely to look at, but it just, I don't know, it just didn't work, did it?
And it wasn't...
aliens were not the effects, scary.
Even though the effects back in 81 were quite, looking at it now...
Very basic.
But they were quite effective and quite sort of scary, but the film was like, yeah, it was done a bit on the cheap.
Okay, bit of a dud, the movie. So if you're interested, you can certainly head to our Facebook site, of course, and our blog, and I'll be putting some links there so people can have a look. You can actually watch the episodes now online.
Really?
Not the greatest quality for sound, as I discovered, but they're all there, all the episodes broken up. So you can head to our Facebook address, which is obviously www.facebook.com/sci-fi-and-squeam, or our blog address is sci-fi-and-squeam.blogspot.com, and we also have our podcasts at joy.org.au, and I'll podcast this later in the week. Now we'll be back shortly. I'm going to play some wonderful music in a moment from none other than Fly Nun Records, and you're listening to Sonia, Byron and Leo, and this is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hi, my name is Gareth Edwards. I'm the director of Monsters. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Ah, yes, Children of the Dog Star. Who can forget that? 1984 television series. 6 episodes only, I believe. Welcome back to Sci-Fi and Squeam. This is Sonia with Leo and Byron. And what have you got there about Children of the Dog Star?
I've got the details from offline.
You've got the details offline.
Children of the Dog Star is a science fiction television program produced in New Zealand in 1984. 6 episodes. Each was written by Ken Cattran and directed by Chris Bailey, with a novelisation written by Murray Studdard.
Chris Bailey. So Chris Bailey is the husband of Judy Bailey.
Really?
Yes.
Ah, there
awesome.
You go.
Yeah,
famous Kiwi newsreader.
I used to see her walking her dog, walking her dog all the time in North.
She's
North
like the queen of
North
New Zealand.
Yes,
so
North Coast over there. I actually met Judy one day. We were having a tour of the new studio where they do the flip over between the two programs, and she's sitting there and she's showing us the glass desk with all the stuff underneath.
Check this out then.
Is this really young Judy Bailey?
I'm Judy Bailey in the One Network newsroom. The latest now from Mount Ruapehu. These pictures are coming to you live from our camera at the chateau. As you can see, the mountain's covered by heavy cloud at the moment. And our reporter at Ruapehu, Simon Mercip, says scientists have been unable to get a clear look at the volcano because of the cloud, but they think there's still a lot of water in the crater lake and further big eruptions are likely.
That was Judy Bailey from the 1995 eruption of Ruapehu, which was very dramatic, actually. I had friends skiing, and the lava, or the whatever they called that slow-moving volcanic stuff, was basically they were skiing just ahead of it to get away. It was pretty scary. There she was.
Go on, Tom.
Oh, sorry. I interrupted there with that.
But that's all right. So, Children of the Dog Star. Plot, on holiday at her uncle's farm, Gretchen befriends Ronnie, a Maori boy with a troubled city past and Beavis the bird-watching son of a loathed developer. Tension is already high as the developer wants to buy and drain a local swamp for a housing estate, but Ronnie's uncle is guardian of a traditional Māori tapu upon the swamp. The swamp must not be touched. Something sleeps there that must not be awakened. Something unnatural.
And it involves Sirius B, is that right? It's a
Sirius B.
Yes, from and Sirius.
Because wasn't there a probe, Colob or something? Colob?
Well, I think they borrowed the idea from Stephen King, actually, going right back. And the Tommyknockers, came along a bit later. Yeah. So there is that
Stephen King's Tommyknockers, which was released 7 years later, has similarities to the story.
Okay, all right.
Uh-huh. So it's the other way around.
Yes. Knock, knock. Who's there?
Before its time, though, New Zealand did produce some wonderful children's sci-fi shows.
Yes, they did.
And shows in general, like really great. So even now, even today, New Zealand has some great shows, which, because in New Zealand they have what's called New Zealand On Air, which is a government body which funds for things like TV shows, music videos.
To have a percentage.
Yeah. Definitely. So, and do they have that here?
I'm not
aware of anything like that here.
They need that here, don't they?
They've got a Screen Australia, and they've actually employed a New Zealand woman to try and take charge of the funding aspect and try to get more Australian, high-quality Australian content. Because, seriously, if it wasn't for Underbelly, I just don't know where Australian television, in any case, would be going. And as James Griffin said, you know, he was brought up. We were all brought up on the sci-fi / fantasy stuff that was kid stuff, and they've said, well, why can't you make it for adults? They're doing it in Britain, you know, you've got Being Human, Misfits, you've got all those sort of left of centre genre and sci-fi horror almost. And they don't want to do it here. They're afraid that people might start using their imaginations or
afraid
something.
Afraid of the risk.
There's a risk, and it's money, big money involved. Yeah. Cost $580,000, I think, Australian per episode for some of these, just for the kids' shows that they make.
Money.
So that's a lot. So CanWest is one of the companies that have stumped up, money and funding for some shows here in Australia. So I don't know what the situation is in New Zealand at the moment.
Well, that's interesting because CanWest, last I was aware, CanWest owned TV3, Network 3 in New Zealand, and I can remember Saturday mornings, there were lots of TV programs that were joint New Zealand-Canadian productions.
There was.
And so there was these sort of sci-fi type things with the sort of kids with like purple eyeliner and stuff and spiky hair. And I just remember that there was Canadian cast members and Kiwi cast members.
They were
maybe that's
that.
The way to go where Australia does like a co-production with, say, the UK, you know, which features some Aussie actors and some UK actors, because in the UK you've got Neighbours and Home and Away, which are huge shows in the UK. Actors from those shows could be in these new shows, you know, and it could sell that concept, sell that show to European markets because of those familiar actors.
It could work. I mean, in Canada, the Canadian government also have tax incentives for film companies to go and make their films and TV series there. Battlestar Galactica, Warehouse 13, I mean, Eureka, they're all made in Canada, mainly Vancouver district, Vancouver province, because it's cheaper and there's tax breaks for them. So I don't see, you know, maybe that could happen here a little bit more. Because I think a lot of them go to Brisbane or Sydney, so I'm not sure about Melbourne. Anyway, I have to say goodbye.
Yeah,
that's a bit sad. We were just getting into it.
An hour goes so quickly.
Goes too quick, but we'll be back in a moment. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam with, I was going to say Leroy, because that's kind of like a nice mixture of Byron and Leo here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Carrie Fisher, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
And you're here with Sci-Fi and Squeamers, the honorary ones, Byron and Leo. And we're doing some sci-fi fantasy kid adult stuff from Kiwiland.
Yes.
Now, Byron wants to share something.
So there was another program that I've been searching on because I saw it once when it aired in 1987 and have been wanting to catch it again and been searching, couldn't find The Haunting of Barney Palmer anywhere. Ooh. And then recently I discovered this website, NZ On Screen. So it's nzonscreen.com. And basically, this this is something that's been produced by TVNZ, where you can actually watch programs on there from overseas. So a lot of the time you get these sites where you can't watch them because you're not in the same country, but this one's been done to showcase New Zealand New Zealand film and television to the rest of the world. So if you want to check out any of the shows we've been talking about tonight,
I might
tonight,
put those up on the Facebook later.
Yeah, well,
actually,
NZScreen.com.
Site's amazing. I was looking at it before and I was just like, oh my god.
I can't get off the
site. It's great.
No, we noticed that.
We thought we'd lost you for a while there.
Well, I'm going to have to wrap it, unfortunately, guys, but it's been wonderful to have you both. You're both joysters. We're all three joysters, crazy joysters here. One an honorary Kiwi. You might as well be one of us. Of course, Leo, of course, from the Sound Museum, which is on tomorrow, 9 to 11pm on Joy 94.9. Excellent tune-in. And we spoke to the creative genius of Outrageous Fortune and also of course, the almighty Johnsons, Norse gods in West Auckland. Why not? So it's harara until next week for everyone here on Sci-Fi and Squeam. Now, the Squeamer will be going up to scratch in next week's episode number 82, which means I've got to do a lot of film reviews, some latest releases, and more special guests. A local filmmaker, Dominic Deacon, and his producer, Anna Young, will be coming on to talk about their noir thriller movie, Only the Young Die Good. Can't wait. We'll put some more things about that on our Facebook and blog site very shortly. And of course, thanks for listening. But I'm going to go out with this special track for all the Kiwis that are listening. Hopefully you are still awake. But it's still only, what? Actually, it's 1am there now.
Yes. It is.
And it's good night. So, harara. Everybody have a nice moi moi, which means a nice deep sleep. And thanks for listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Good night.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.